If it's local and it matters, you know where to go. The Steve Stewart Show on Real Talk 93.3.
I was born in a small town. And I live in a small town.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Steve Stewart Show here on Real Talk 93.3. Thanks for tuning in today. Got a great show lined up for you. You know, just far enough away from the election where we can talk about some other things versus elections and some information that's important to the community. We've got a Leon County Commission meeting this afternoon. Touch on a couple of issues there later on in the show. But next segment, we're going to dive into the fire service fee and sort of the issue around Dimon Johnson's endless financial promises to voters with the support from One Tallahassee, the PAC started by Commissioner Matlow, funded by California billionaire, and how they are really starting to, I don't know, I think they're getting up to a line. It'll be interesting to see how much the voters will tolerate this, but Dimon Johnson, who has promised to roll back the property taxes, has promised to pay firefighters a starting salary of $60,000, which is about, you know, anywhere from 15 to 20% higher than anywhere across the state. And now, you know, they're looking for money to support these promises. We're asking questions. No other outlets are asking it. They're letting them just sort of, they're letting them promote this narrative, and they sort of take their cues, the local media. And even this latest issue with Dimon Johnson brought up the school board not paying their fire service fees to the city. She's looking at that for money to facilitate one of her unfunded campaign promises. And what she's done is really opened up a question about her credibility, because I mean, and we'll get into this, fire service fees were set into motion through state legislation a number of years ago, and there's court cases all over the state saying who pays fire service fees and who don't. And so this is, again, pandering of the highest level. And then you've got Commissioner Matlow piling on for another reason, which we'll get into, which will sort of be a good segue into his bullying tactics. And, you know, I will tell you that, again, we're getting up to a line here. I'm not sure when it starts to adversely impact voters. But when you've got the firefighter union, not the firefighters, the firefighter union balking at a 10% starting salary raise for firefighters, they're using this for political purposes. And I've said this oftentimes on the air, it may end up working depending on what the voters are up for. But Commissioner Mallow has become one of the biggest bullies that I think that local politics is seen in Tallahassee. And we'll give you a couple of examples of that on the back end of this fire service story. Some numbers. We'll also talk about some local economic numbers, single family construction permit numbers, and also we'll look into the just got a update to the airport travel numbers, passenger traffic. And, you know, if you look nationally, there's some red flags flying up related to the economy. And we're starting to see some of them here in the numbers that we're following. And so we'll touch on those. I do want to, before we get out of this segment, talk about the rash of incidents we've seen in Leon County schools in terms of rumors of potential violence. And, you know, there's so much here to unpack, but, you know, I've been a big advocate of not allowing cell phones anywhere near campuses after doing the research. And there is a debate that has started among the elected officials about that. They can't get there fast enough. But social media and the use of these phones by students it's really coming now. I mean, there's been these studies about the emotional impacts, but now we're seeing it manifests itself in the news because of these highlighted incidents of people threatening harm to schools. And so what one sheriff down south was very upfront about, look, the parents aren't going to raise their kids, so I am. I'm going to have to do that. And they actually did a perp walk with a middle schooler who had threatened to shoot some of his friends at school. And he said it was just a joke. Well, they arrested him. And here on Monday of this week, a Godby High School student had a gun in his backpack. That same day, a Leon High School student was arrested for sending a threatening message to another student. Friday, police arrested a different Leon High School student after FBI warned officials the student had sent a Snapchat message that threatened school violence. The day before that, a 13-year-old Griffin Middle School student brought a loaded handgun and what officials say was likely cocaine to school. And so, look, I don't like to say I told you so, but the cell phone has got to go. That's the first start. And then you've got to do what some of these other school districts are doing. You've got to start arresting these kids. This is getting to the point. Parents, like you said, or like has been said, parents aren't doing their job. And, you know, you see it everywhere. Rules, just basic rules of decency aren't being followed because there's no one enforcing it. We need to get, you know, look, I read a story down in Wakulla County where someone has been arrested for petty theft four times in a row, which reaches a level of felony. That wouldn't happen in other states. In California, you're allowed to get away with that. It's good to see that we are actually following through with that in Florida. It's time that we start following the rules and we start enforcing the rules. We saw recently with TPD had 376 pullovers in one day, 277 citations, 11 arrests. We need more of that. Now, you know, local media does not want to talk about this, but we talked about violent crime being down and we talked about fatal shootings being down even further. And it's because of enforcement. Listen, Walt McNeil and Sheriff Revel do not like to brag about this because for obvious reasons. So it's up to journalists and the media to look at these numbers and report this. We're the only one, Talis Reports is the only one to date to report about the decline in violent crime and the 17-month low in fatal shootings. And now let's move to the schools and start doing that same type of enforcement. Now, I know there are people in this community, the progressives, who don't believe that police have a deterrent effect. But that is, you know, that's a belief. But we're starting to see, first of all, the impact on the violent crime and the shootings, what enforcement is doing. 93 cameras around town. The use of the real-time crime center. More aggressive traffic enforcement. And now it's time we get more aggressive in these schools. Because this is really where it all starts. And it's time to bring back accountability and maybe even a little shame. What is a middle school student doing with a loaded handgun and cocaine? All right. When we get back, we will turn our attention to the fire service fee and unpack that for you and tell you why it's just about politics. Stay tuned.
We'll be back after we flip to page two. It's the Steve Stewart Show on Real Talk 93.3. Hyper local news. It's the Steve Stewart Show on Real Talk 93.3.
Welcome back to the Steve Stewart Show here on Real Talk 93.3. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you're having a great week. Nice cool weather this morning. Okay, fire service fee and politics. As I said, Dottieman Johnson is pandering to voters through this promise to roll back tax increases and increase firefighter salaries to $60,000. Now is searching for money to make sure she can keep her campaign promises. And she's starting with the school districts. She wants the school districts to pay fire service fees, even though in the opinion of legal experts across the state, they don't have to. And all you got to do is look to Marion County, which is Ocala, where they are in a 10-year legal battle about this. And the judges has refused to decide in favor of school boards paying fire service fee. In other words, they've said, go back and settle this. And so this is what has happened. They made, Dottie Mae Johnson has made all these promises. She doesn't have the money to cash the check. And now they're going after your school kids' money to pay for a $60,000 starting salary for firefighters, which is way beyond what firefighters make around the state. And you could say, look, you know, our first responders, they should have a $60,000 a year salary. There are many more details you need to be aware of. Their work schedule, their availability to do other work, their pension benefits, their health benefits. And so, and I'm not going to go down to that rabbit hole. There are special magistrates that get paid to look at these things in a very unbiased and independent way. They looked at this, and while you can argue the city of Tallahassee may be, you know, trying to drive a hard bargain, starting firefighter salaries and salaries for engineers and captains are within the limits that are being paid throughout the state of Florida. And what you've got is the progressives who want power so bad. Jeremy Matlow can taste the power. They want it so bad that they're making these promises on these finances, on these financial promises, because they're trying to court conservative voters. And it's never going to happen. They're not going to spend $15 million a year to roll back property taxes. And if they are, you know, Commissioner Mallow says they're going to cut all departments. That means law enforcement. Dottie Mae Johnson says, you know, we need to phase in law enforcement spending. So if they do cut, if they do come up with this money, it's coming out of law enforcement. It's not coming out of parks or animal services or Star Metro. And so now, Dottie Mae Johnson, I think, is suddenly realizing, you know, I got to find some money somewhere. The school board is not paying their fire service fees. Let me go up and let me speak out at this city commission meeting and say, you know, they owe $3 million. Get the school board to pay $3 million. Well, she should take a hit on this for the lack of intellectual curiosity. Wouldn't you go look and say, why aren't they paying? And we knew about this issue before, and we were researching it before she talked about it. The fire service fee has been ruled a fee that school boards don't have to pay. And all you got to do is look across the state. I can't, now there may be some out there, but I can't find a school district that's paying a fire service fee. So Rocky Hanna, looking for money in 2020, 2021, said, look, we've got legal cases here that say that due to our status as a local government, we don't have to pay a fire service fee. Went to the city. The city did some legal research. Saw places like Miami-Dade, Pinellas County, Alachua, and said, look, you know, they got a point. And then they said, well, why don't we sue the Leon County School Board and make them pay? Well, so this is in 2020. Well, Mr. Goad, let me show you this case in Marion County in Ocala. The city of Ocala is suing the Marion County School Board. They started the school board. They started suing the school board in 2011. It is still going on. You know how many lawyers getting rich on this? So the city manager said, all right, I think I see the writing on the wall here. So we're going to stop collecting the fees from the Leon County School Board. Now, did Dottie Mae Johnson know about this? Did she bring this up? Did the headline in local media indicate that this was a fee that didn't need to be paid? No. So they continue to try to fool the voters. But I really question Dottie Mae Johnson's judgment here. We've got a Leon County School Board that says they're in trouble financially because of money going out to higher security costs. They're going to charter schools, state legislation that allows the money to follow some of these kids. And now Dottie Mae Johnson doesn't seem to care. She wants to collect money from the schools to pay to fund her outrageous campaign promises. And it looks like Commissioner Matlow is on board with this. Now, so this is her approach to try to fund her firefighter promise. Because again, remember, the firefighter union is in bed with Jeremy Matlow and the progressives. They have laundered money back and forth between each other. And I say that in a legal context. When I say laundering, they're moving it from account to account and paying certain people. Money from California goes to Commissioner Matlow's PAC, goes to the firefighter union PAC, goes to Commissioner Matlow's campaign operative. That's the truth. And so now the firefighters are probably saying, you know, what's the plan here? We're going to get this money. We're supporting you, but you're making this promise. Where are we going to get the money? And now the firefighter union is throwing schools under the bus. Pardon the pun. And so the question now is, when will voters have enough of this? When will the light go off and say, they are just using us to get control of the city commission? Now, the next question that needs to hit the Dot Inman Johnson campaign is, how are you going to finance this promise of rolling back the property tax increase? And I have said this time and time again, I'll say it again, I'm all ears for rolling back taxes. You want to cut capital programs? You want to cut the amount of money going to capital programs? Give me the list of programs. We can find some. You want to cut the amount of money going to Star Metro because its ridership is down? Now, you're going to cut parks? You might have an issue there. You're going to cut law enforcement? Definitely going to have an issue. Now, this is all coming amid a proposed 10% raise for starting firefighters. This is so laughable what the progressives are trying to pull over on the voters. And so we'll see in the months before this election if some enterprising reporter, like Talis Reports, is asking the question of, where are you going to get the money for the $15 million rollback in property taxes? Now, Commissioner Matlow says he's going to cut all departments. He's not going to do that. And even if he says he is he the mouthpiece for Dot Inman Johnson all of a sudden? Can she not stand on her own? She needs to answer questions, and she's not. We've asked it. She won't answer. She won't come on the show. She didn't want to come on the show. That's fine. But tell me, how are you going to find $15 million? You know, we've heard this. Law enforcement's over 60% of the general fund budget. You'd have to cut law enforcement. Salaries. They say, well, we're going to cut executive salaries. You know, even if you really tried to gut executive salaries, you could probably save $1 million a year. Maybe. And that's really gutting it. So that still leaves $14 million of recurring cost. Are you going to stop adding money to the capital improvement program? These are all questions that nobody wants to ask Dot Inman Johnson. And after her theatrics with the fire service fee, I understand why she has no answer, because asking for the school board to pay to fund her campaign promise is ridiculous. And, you know, they're trying to make this look like the city dropped the ball. The city looked at the landscape and avoided legal bills. So does Dot Inman Johnson want us to engage in a lawsuit? Because look, Rocky Hanna said, if we owe this, we pay it. We don't. I'm not going to increase salaries for firefighters at the expense of my teachers. That was Rocky Hanna. So now this is a battle. This is a battle between the progressives looking to fund their ridiculous promises, and they're turning to the schools. Just let that simmer for a little while. All right, we'll be back right after this break.
We'll be right back with more Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3. He has has his finger on the pulse of hyper-local politics. It's the Steve Stewart Show on Real Talk 93.3.
All right, welcome back to the Steve Stewart Show here on Real Talk 93.3. Appreciate you tuning in. Fire service fee thing is going to be a big story, I'm telling you. Now they've picked a fight with Rocky Hanna, who just, you know, who's up for election again, and we'll see how that goes. But, you know, when you start talking about finances in schools, he's going to get very possessive, and now he's coming from his own backyard. And so I think his quote was very instructive, and we'll continue to follow this. Now, on the Commissioner Matlow front, I got to tell you, boy, I'm losing confidence and patience in anything that Commissioner Matlow says at this point. I mean, this guy who was elected on this, he was elected in this wave of reform because of corrupt City Hall. We had the FBI trials, but he hijacked that and for his own purposes. And it's becoming clearer and clearer. And I think it's becoming clearer in the community. It will depend on how far down in the community it gets to the voters. But Commissioner Matlow is, you know, he is pushing his national, I don't know if he has national ambitions, but he's pushing a national ideology here in the Tallahassee. And he's doing it through bullying tactics. First of all, he's a hypocrite, to like the top order hypocrite. And he's a bully. And the facts are clearly out there. And I think, again, I'm starting to hear from people I didn't hear it from before, but there's a line, and, you know, you see this in national politics where they say, you know, it's a bridge too far, or you really got out over your skis. And I mean, for him, like I said, he got sort of pushed into office by 350 votes during a period of these corruption investigations. And, you know, like I said, he came on our show, him and his progressive partners advertising Tallahassee Reports. And then they got elected and started calling everything corrupt. It's like, hey, you know what? We got elected because of corruption. Let's just keep calling everything corrupt. You know, it's like if they disagree with us on a policy, they're corrupt. If we can't get a vote, we'll just continue to vote. We will relitigate in every meeting and then say, oh, these meetings, we need more meetings because we got to relitigate. And so at some point, voters get tired of this. I don't know if they're there. We'll see. But, you know, he's so enamored with corruption, but when his progressive pal, Jack Porter, is taking trips being paid for by someone else, he's quiet. Nothing. And he gets the signal out to these other media outlets, don't ask questions. That's a hypocrite. And he says this PAC is going to be people-driven. It's going to be a grassroots movement. And you get $125,000 from across state lines, $100,000 from San Francisco to fund his national ideological move to wreck Tallahassee and to fool the voters. Hypocrite. People driven, $100,000 from one guy in California. That is a perfect example of hypocrisy. Now, the bullying is what's going to eventually get Matlow in trouble. Because you can only, you know, it's like, it used to be you just bullied Republicans here in Leon County. You didn't have a problem because there's so few of us. You just bully them. Most of them go away. Some of them stay and fight. But when you start bullying Democrats, I mean, eventually you run out of Democrats to bully. And so you look at this latest tactics, and he just can't leave things alone. He's got to comment on everything. So Gil Ziffer and Brian DeLoge are going to have a little radio show once a month, and they're going to talk about things that we can do better. I look forward to it because it's content for me to write about. Brian DeLoge is a registered Republican. Gil Ziffer is, when he was on a city commission, pretty liberal Democrat. But I want our listeners to know that Commissioner Matlow lets no opportunity pass when he can bully somebody that might disagree with who he is or disagree with a position he might have. And that's what he did on Facebook for everyone to see. Guild Ziffer's corrupt. It's two white guys talking about policies. That's what Matlow, he described them as two white guys, which they are, but he did it in a connotation that made it very negative. You can't have a liberal white guy and a conservative white guy talk about policy without bringing in race. I really think Matlow's, I think he might have a little bit of an issue in terms of, I don't know if it's a security issue, but he feels like he has to comment on everything in his community. And he really is. He's bullying people. And in such a dishonest way. So he's got a, now, one Tallahassee has got this 1 minute commercial wanting voters to believe that Curtis Richardson is anti-abortion. He has been pro-choice his whole life. He voted against a resolution on the city because he felt like the city had no business getting into it. And Commissioner Mallow is trying to ruin this man's reputation with an ad because, do you know why? Commissioner Mallow wants control of the city commission. And for that, Curtis Richardson is a threat to abortion rights, and Gil Ziffer is corrupt. Whatever it takes. And, you know, the bullying doesn't stop. I mean, he's bullied Tallahassee Report. They've sent out their meetings to try to get people not to advertise with us, tell people not to come on the radio show. Well aware of all this. That's bullying. And the thing that you should understand, listening to this, is that it's the messenger. You know, it's not that Gil Ziffer has said anything yet or Brian DeLoach. They go after the messenger because they know they may present things that are not in tune with my policy options, and they may actually find out things that we're doing that's not above board. So what we have to do is we have to ruin the credibility of the messenger before they have a chance to talk. Now, the good news for Tallahassee Report is we've been around a long time. We've been on both ends of a lot of different things. You know, we were criticized for being too tough on City Hall. Now we're being criticized for being too easy on them. But we've been around for a while. Brian DeLoach, Gil Ziffer have been around for a while. So it's a lot tougher to get to those messengers, but they try. The poor police officer in the Calvin Ridley affair, a Riley affair, hadn't been around for a long while. And so they just, hey, we'll just say she planted evidence. We'll create an issue there that we might be able to get some mileage out of. And now, for the last, when Lori Cox was running against Jeremy Rogers, it was, they wanted to beat Lori Cox so bad because she was such an extreme member of the school board. But you know who wasn't on board with that? I don't think Rocky Hanna was on board with that, the superintendent. Now, he had never endorsed either candidate, and that upset Commissioner Matlow so much that he wouldn't come out and trash Lori Cox, someone who's been in the educational system for 40 years. And now look at the timing here. They're coming after the Leon County School Board and the fire service fees. Interesting timing. He's a divider, he's a hypocrite, and he's a bully. Not afraid to say it. I got the facts to back it up. And it's time people stood up to him. Now, with the voters, look, this general election, people are coming out to vote for president. A lot of them aren't interested in city politics. So you get this abortion ad that he's put up, which is so far from the truth, and he knows it. What a dishonest elected official. He knows it's dishonest. And so, look, it becomes an emotional vote. And, you know, the local media, the majority of the local media are helping the progressives out. That's who their readers are. And so they put their slant on these issues. We still haven't had a follow-up article on who's paying for Jack Porter's travel. No, they're just going to, you know, they're just going to leave that up to the Ethics Commission. When before, you could do data requests, which we did information requests, and get information and write about it. Not going to do it. Protection. It's a protection racket. And what they don't want is competing voices. Brian DeLoach, Gil Ziffer. Can you believe that they're going after Gil Ziffer? Back in the day was one of the more intellectually liberal city commissioners. And because he supported some economic growth, he is a threat to Commissioner Matlow and his plan. Well, we'll see how this develops. We'll continue to follow it. As you can tell, I'm done. I think that it is, I call it Matlow madness. Anybody that tweets out 5 to 7 times on a Sunday, which are just hateful tweets, or, you know, they need to just take a break. Anyway, when we get back, we'll talk about the local economy and the Leon County Commission meeting coming up in just mere hours. Stay tuned.
Segment 4 is on its way. You don't want to miss it on The Steve Stewart Show. From the pages of Tallahassee Reports to your radio waves, it's the Steve Stewart Show on Real Talk 93.3.
Welcome back to the Steve Stewart Show here on Real Talk 93.3. So, a couple of local economic updates. One really good, one not so good, a little bit alarming. August single-family construction permits continue downward trend. We have a story up. And, you know, this is the number of permits for single family residential construction has been trending down, the 12-month trend lines, since January of 2024, after a good probably 30-40% increase for the year of 2023, but is headed down since January 2024 and pretty markedly. So if you compare August 2024 to last year is down 46%. The number of permits and the value is down 50%. The three-month average, which would sort of minimize any monthly fluctuations, is still down just over 35% in terms of the number of permits and the value. So we're headed down. And this, you know, this in tandem with the jobs reports that we got last month and sort of the trends that we're seeing there are yellow to red flags on what's going on from an economic standpoint. Now, obviously, how much of this has to do with national trends? Probably most of it to a degree on some of these, you know, on the construction and the the job numbers. Although I will tell you, I just had a discussion over the last couple of days with someone who said that, again, we keep hearing this. It's very difficult to build neighborhoods in this community from a financial standpoint, the money you've got to put up front where you don't have to do in other communities. And so anyway, that's sort of where we are on those two. The, again, this one of these things that we've noticed, if you look at the past 15 years on the trend lines of the single family construction permits, once it gets going in a direction, it usually stays there for at least a year. And so I would anticipate that this trend line would continue to head down, given what's happened in the past. So we'll keep an eye on that. Also, got the latest on the airport numbers, up 16.8%. You know, the JetBlue decision to leave, there's more and more traffic going through JetBlue. It's amazing to me that the decision that they made. Now, we've documented, even though a couple of the progressive elected officials want to blame the city, some national trends here on JetBlue. But again, the number of, I'd have to go back and look, but it looks to me like the number of passengers traveling on JetBlue is at the highest they've been in August. So traffic was up 16.8% when you compare it to August of last year. And if you look at the 12-month annual trends, the annual rate is up 12.6%. 936,000 annual passengers, 937,000. And so since last year when it was flat, again, beginning in around August of last year, passenger traffic has continued to increase. So we'll see we'll see where that goes. But again, good numbers here. Maybe JetBlue will change their mind looking at his numbers. We'll see. Now, as I spoke about earlier, we have a Leon County Commission meeting that will commence in just hours. Wanted to look at a couple of, you know, they put out the agenda a week or so ago, and then there's some items that get pulled that were consent, and that usually means that there's elected officials interested in this. There looks like there are three pulled items. They are the voluntary annexation of a piece of property on Mahan Drive, the ratification of a reimbursement agreement with the Florida Gulf and Atlantic Railroad for Tharp Street and Mission Road crossing repair. That's interesting. We'll have to keep an eye on that. And then they also pulled, which means they want to discuss the status report on the interlocal agreements with the city of Tallahassee for central sewer water services, which is an issue, a continuing issue for years. So those should be interesting things to look at. Now, the general business, a couple of things that caught my eye. They're going to talk about the Community Human Services Partnership agency funding. They're going to discuss a crime analysis for the 32304 and West Pensacola Street area. This was something that was requested, if I remember correctly, from County Commissioner Christian Caban, who's West Pensacola is in his district. And so there's a detailed crime analysis of basically what kind of crimes, what kind of actions are being taken to move that area forward. And so this will be, I think, something that will get a lot of discussion. There's also a public hearing on the tentative millage rate and the tentative budget. This will be interesting from the perspective of a couple of county commissioners, Welch and Caban for sure, are looking at trying to maybe roll back the millage rate based on the increase in tax revenues collected due to the increase in property values. Now, the number that's been bantied around is anywhere between $4 and $5 million. So we'll see. I know it's going to get a discussion. This is a perfect opportunity, especially given the political environment, for this to be talked about and to get credit for talking about it. Will they have the votes to do it? I think is another issue. County Commission staff has been very clear that they have very proud of the way they have managed expenses over the last 10 years through actually longer than that. Since the Great Recession, through the COVID era. And their argument is that we are saving money during the high times and using that money during the low times. And we're not having to change the millage rate. So that, I'm sure that kind of discussion will be had at this meeting. And we'll have an update on that on Thursday. They're also going to discuss some appointments to community boards. And then they're going to look at the renaming options to honor President Barack Obama. That just sort of popped up there. I did not know that was coming. So we'll see. We'll see where that goes. A lot of renaming streets here lately. T-Pain and Barack Obama could get streets in the same month. I know the city got rebuffed by the county on some renaming issues and because of the procedures that were involved. And so they changed the procedures and then moved forward to rename some streets. And now this is on the Leon County Commission agenda. Looks like a lively agenda. They're going to get an update on the OEV economic dashboard. Some of what we just talked about will undoubtedly be on there and up for discussion. It will be interesting to see if the single family residential permit issue comes up. And then the last issue I want to talk about, we do have an article up on this, which I think is interesting, is they're going to talk about a rental assistance program for former inmates. And we've got the details of this on a report at Tallahassee Reports. But this is $100,000 to implement the rental housing assistance program and work with the Leon County Sheriff's Office for the administration of the program. And the program is going to be a $4,000 allocation to participants and can be utilized toward private rental units or space and transitional housing property. To qualify for the program, individuals must be homeless, must have just been released from the Leon County Detention Facility within the last 30 days. So in other words, you got to be really down on your luck to qualify this program. And there are people out there that need this help. And so we'll see about this program and the discussion that ensues. So we'll be back on Thursday with this and other things. Until then, enjoy the weather. Have a good Tuesday. And we'll be back on Thursday.